Who's Talking on Richmond Sports Radio 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former UVA basketball standout Jim Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and classic Hobbo humor. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, Moore's Volvo, LeClaire Ryan, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, CapTech Consulting, TheSaber.com, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Associates, Zacharias Ganey Health Institute, and La Mer Restaurant. Now, Who's Talking is on Sports Radio 910. Here's Frank and Jim.
Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC sports fans. This is Frank Maloney with my trusty co-host, Jim Hobgood, who's not as cheerful as usual.
Not happy.
Not happy. He's not a happy camper. But we also have a wonderful guest tonight in studio. We have Vernon Inge, sports attorney with LeClaire Ryan, one of our sponsors and a good friend of the show, really from the get-go. He's participated every year of the program, and welcome to have you on board.
Glad to be here.
All right. Couple things. This was a huge week in Cavalier athletics on many levels. First off, there was the verbal commitment on Wednesday by Quinn Blanding, the number 4 rated football prospect in the nation. That just doesn't happen every day. And normally we don't go so overboard early on recruiting, but let's put it like this. There were 4 or 5 other big stars in the room down there at Bayville just to sort of support his decision. Corwin Cutler, a Virginia recruit, was in there. Taquan Mizell, the other 5-star that's coming this year. The running back, a.k.a. Smoke, were there.
Well, you know, I'm all over football recruiting. You know, it's my specialty. But I did take note in the paper that this is the 4th consecutive year that we have gotten the number 1 recruit out of the Tidewater region. So
the beat goes on.
The aircraft carrier out in the ocean is turning direction. I mean, it doesn't turn quick, but it's turning, and it's turning in our direction, which is good.
Well, that was Wednesday. Then Thursday night was the epic basketball game with Duke. What can you say?
I forgot about it.
Joe Harris was absolutely spectacular and deserved more national attention. However, there were a lot of distractions post-game because, amazingly, the fans stormed the court. And for some reason, that bothered Coach K. And
you ever hear the old logo that you're only as good as your last game?
Yeah.
So today we're not very good.
Well, maybe so, but Thursday night we beat one of the top teams in the nation. And swim team.
Hey, how about Mark Bernardino, a recent guest on the show?
Mark Bernardino, his males swim team, they ended up winning their 6th consecutive ACC title, and the combination of the women winning their 6th consecutive. It's never been done before until this year.
Well, the men, that's 14 out of 15. That's about as close to a dynasty as you can get. And for Coach Bernardino, a total of 27 ACC championships. Not too shabby, as they say.
Well, he's closing in. There's only a couple of other coaches ever in ACC sports history that have more ACC titles than he does. And they were never in swimming. But a huge week, a tough loss yesterday, no doubt, to Boston College. Has got my colleague kind of moping a little bit. But I've said before the Duke game that Virginia needed 2 or 3 more wins. And I really think that the whole opportunity is still in front of the Cavaliers. If they beat Florida State this Thursday night and then take care of business on Sunday early evening against Maryland – they go into the ACC tournament, most likely in 4th place. They get that bye, and if they can win a game first round of the ACC tournament, they're in like Flynn. So that's my take. Hobbo, tell us about tonight's show.
So we beat Florida State, Maryland, and NC State. We're in. I would agree with that. But,
okay. So the party's not over, Hobbo.
You out at the country club, if you go birdie, birdie, birdie on 16, 17, and 18, you win.
But, you're going to win the money.
All right. Well, as Frank mentioned, Vern is with us tonight. It's nice to have a lawyer in the house. He'll keep us straight, make sure we don't say what we're not supposed to say, all that good stuff. Initially, our first guest tonight will be a friend of the program and a friend of Habbo, Dan Bonner. Hopefully, we're going to be able to catch up with him. He's going to be on a cell phone headed toward Huntington, West Virginia, where he's going to do the Marshall game tomorrow night. He may spend a week in West Virginia with the weather out there.
He might get trapped. That's true.
That's not the best direction to be going this week. But at any rate, and as Frank has indicated, Vern Inge is with us from LeClaire Ryan. Vern, a friend of the show, and LeClaire Ryan, of course, has been a sponsor, I think, since day one. So we appreciate their support of Who's Talking in year four and hopefully beyond. And a lot of stuff to discuss on the violation area, UNC, Miami, and others. But at any rate, once again, Chris Sill, a little under the weather. So tonight, Frank will tell you, or is Vern going to tell us how to follow the show?
I'll do it. Who's Talking is streaming live on sportsradio910.com, also streaming live on thesaber.com. We encourage everyone to post comments on Facebook. Just search Who's Talking and become a fan. All previous shows are archived on thesaber.com, and I believe the Saber is current right now with the archives. And go back and listen to some of our recent guests. Dom Starcher was particularly good. Mark Bernardino, the swim coach, did a great job, and many others. We've had some excellent guests. The other thing that you can do tonight is you can always call into the show, 804-345-0910. That's 345-0910. We encourage fans to download the iHeartRadio app if you have a smartphone. And you can listen live almost anywhere. So that's how you can follow the show.
Yeah, good night to call. Let's call it Cheer Up Habbo Night. You know, call in and give me some encouragement. But I think we have Mr. Bonner on the phone, so we'll go straight to him. Man needs not much introduction. Obviously, former Cavalier, co-captain of the Hoos back in 1975, was the women's coach of the Virginia Cavaliers for two seasons back in the 70s before he got into the media gig. And I think he's been the women's coach at R.E. Lee, athletic director at R.E. Lee High School. He wears a number of hats. But, Dan, are you with us there on the phone?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
We're good. We're worried about you headed to West Virginia. We figure you might be spending a week up there once the snow hits. So I hope you have your snowshoes.
Well, Jim, I actually have my snow boots, but I am not planning on getting stuck anywhere. I've got a game in Raleigh on Wednesday, and so whether or not, I got to get from one place to the other.
Well, I'm sure you will be able to do that. Well, you know, I'm a little sad and disheartened today because my beloved Hoos laid an egg up in Boston last night. Does that put Virginia back on the bubble?
Jim, you know, the funny thing is this time of the year and for the last few weeks have been a great time for those of us who enjoy college basketball because there's all this talk about the NCAA tournament and who's in and who's out and who's on the bubble. And I can tell you definitively that as of today, nobody's in and nobody's out, except for those teams in the Ivy League that have been mathematically eliminated from contention for the league championship since they don't have a tournament, but everybody else still has a shot. And I think that applies to Virginia too. And they did not help themselves with their loss to Boston College in terms of receiving an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, but they still have time. They still have a couple of games that they can win in the regular season, and they certainly have an opportunity in the ACC tournament. So if I were on the NCAA tournament selection committee, which I'm not, or if somebody from the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee was going to consult with me, which they won't, then I would say that Virginia certainly hurt their chances with that loss to Boston College. I don't think they were definitely in before. I don't think they're definitely out now. There's still some basketball left to be played.
Hear, hear. That, by the way, that's what I was saying before we came on air, Dan. But this is Frank. Thank you for joining us, as always. One quick question, because Habbo has 10 more questions.
Okay.
With Florida State right now in the front windshield, and Virginia has got to get up for this game Thursday night, what happens in practice this week? How does Bennett get the players focused back on the task at hand? And how do they get over playing really what was kind of an ugly game on Sunday?
Well, I don't think that Tony Bennett needs to do anything to get the players focused on the task at hand. They all understand that. And if there's anybody on that team who needs the coach to get them focused on the task at hand, then Tony Bennett has bigger problems. Virginia's issue all year long has been that they have to shoot the ball well to win games. I know they play great defense, but defense only keeps you in games. Eventually, you have to score if you're going to win. And quite simply, the Virginia Cavaliers didn't shoot the ball well enough to beat Boston College. That was the same thing that happened down at Georgia Tech when they had a 9-point lead and made one field goal in the last 9 minutes of the game. So it's nothing. Virginia, I don't think they'll do anything differently to get ready for Florida State and Maryland than they've done before. But no matter what they do, they've got to shoot the ball well. And if they don't, they're going to be in trouble.
It's certainly true in Virginia's case. I think it probably applies to other teams as well. Virginia seems to be a different team at home than they are on the road. How do you explain that?
I'm not sure, Jim, that there is an explanation for it. I think that part of it has to do with the fact that teams throughout college basketball have such a small margin for error, that there are young people who are occupying key positions, that there are people who are stepping up into much more important roles in key positions. And I just think that the teams that play the best on the road are the teams that have the most experienced guys. And I think that that has been proven across the country and certainly in the ACC. The team with the most experience is the first-place team, Miami, and they finished their road schedule at 7-2. And so I think that has something to do with it. But, if I had an explanation, I would give the explanation, but I would charge for it, and I would make a lot of money.
Let's just look at the league. North Carolina really seems to be coming on here of late. What's your assessment of the Tar Heels?
I think North Carolina, obviously, Jim, with the change that they made in the lineup, is a different team. They play a different style. I think P.J. Hairston playing that power forward spot makes them a very, very difficult matchup. He's big enough and strong enough that he can get away with that against most teams. There are very few teams in the conference that can take advantage of that matchup. But he, on the other hand, can go outside and take advantage of a bigger guy outside. And so I think it makes them quicker. I think it makes them better defensively. I think it allows them to play at that higher pace the quicker pace that they really like. And so I think it's a change that they've made late enough in the year that it's going to be really hard for teams to make adjustments because they're not going to play them twice. So I think it's a great move by Roy Williams. I think it's great timing for the move, and I think it makes North Carolina a much, much better team.
Yeah, they got a big week this week, at Maryland, which can be tough, and then, of course, Duke at home. If they could get a couple of W's this week, that would really certainly strengthen their position going into tournament time. Yeah, the other team that's kind of interesting this year has been NC State, although now they seem like maybe they're starting to play a little better again. Come tournament time, how do you assess the Wolfpack?
Jim, I think this is a team that's a lot like the team last year. After 14 games in the ACC last year, they were 8-6. After 14 games in the ACC this year, they were 8-6. And they got on a roll last year, and I think they still have the opportunity to get on a roll this year. And I expect them to do so. I think the expectations for them were a little bit too high. But I think that they're only playing seven guys now. I think they found a role for that Tyler Lewis kid. I think that their problem is, again, they don't really have great perimeter shooting. But I think that they're a team that's wholly capable of getting on a roll, just like they did last year. I think they're going to be dangerous not only in the ACC tournament, but in the NCAA tournament as well.
Allen Iverson and Hobo have always argued that practice is overrated. And I think Ryan Kelly made my case on Saturday night. The man obviously hadn't practiced much lately, so he apparently doesn't need to practice.
He apparently doesn't need to practice, Jim, but as you well know, coaches hate that particular idea, and it'll be interesting to see what Ryan Kelly can do. Obviously, he's not going to go out and score 30 points every game, but I think he gives Duke a dimension that they need to be a contender for the national championship, and it'll be interesting to see if he can maintain that. Lots of times, a guy coming back, he's fresh, his legs are fresh, and he can have one really good game, but whether he can maintain that, that foot injury really is a hard thing from which to recover. So we'll just see if he's completely recovered or not. If he is, I think that makes Duke a threat for the national championship.
Well, as you know, Duke, you know, that four guy, certainly going back to Battier, maybe before that, but that four guy that can go out on the perimeter and make the three really is what makes Duke's offense so tough to defend.
Yeah, I think so. But the question is, when he's playing, say, matched up against the P.J. Harrison, is he going to be willing and able to take the ball inside and use his size on the interior? I think that's one thing that has made Kenny Kaji from Miami so good this year, and that is that he's decided that he's going to use that size inside when it's appropriate. That for the rest of his career, Kenny Kaji has been a 6'3 guy trapped in a 6'10 guy's body. And you can guard him with a 6'3 guy if he stays out on the perimeter, but you can't guard him very well, as teams have discovered this year, if he's going to go down and operate inside where he's pretty good. And Ryan Kelly, I don't know whether he's going to be able to do that. So we'll see. I think he makes Duke better, and I think he makes him a contender for the national championship. But, you know, while he is a good player, he's not the Naismith player of the year, and he can be defended.
I assume you also think Miami is potentially a deep run in the NCAA tournament?
I think so, Jim. The thing that concerns me about Miami from the perspective of them being able to make a deep run is, did they peak a little too early? And I don't know the answer to that question. Certainly they played really well through the month of February. They had a couple of rough spots there at the end of the month, but obviously Jim Larrañaga is an excellent basketball coach, and as long as they don't get anybody hurt, I think they're going to be a tough out in any tournament, the ACC tournament or the NCAA tournament.
Dan, we got to take our first break. Can you hang through the break, and we'll get a couple of more questions to you and finish up by the bottom of the hour. Is that okay?
Sure, that's okay, Jim.
All right, visiting with Dan Bonner. He's going to hang with us. Hope you do, too. We'll be back after these messages.